Hello, it's Paul Scott here. Today I'm talking to Lucien Mears, who is a well-known bear raider, or bear, I suppose we should say. Hi, Lucien, and thanks for agreeing to do this.
Hello, Paul. It's a pleasure.
So specifically today we wanted to discuss Purple Bricks, ticker PURP, which is the UK's leading online estate agent. Now, it's a stock where I personally have been long, and I still am long, although I've actually sold most of my position. And Lucien is short, so we thought it would be quite interesting to sort of compare notes and see if either of us can persuade the other of the error of our ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so just by way of background then, the market cap's currently about 1 billion. The share is extremely volatile. I mean, just today, the price has ranged between £3.35 and about £3.95. So you're getting huge intraday swings, even on days when there's no actual news from the company, which suggests to me that the market doesn't really know how to value this stock.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, so I think what we're going to do then, Lucien suggested that if I run through my six main bull points, and then after each point give Lucien a chance to respond, and then at the end of that, Lucien will outline the bear case. Okay, so if I start off then with bull point number one, it's that Purple Bricks is the UK's largest online estate agent. It's by far the market leader with about 70% market share. And I verified that independently but online by checking on the web rankings, number of hits for all its competitors. And its claims do stack up in that regard for the UK. And I think that this sector is absolutely ripe for internet disruption. And Purple Bricks is the only significant listed share that's trying to do that. So that's my bull point. So your response, Lucien?
Well, I'd say to that the distinction between what you might call bricks and mortar estate agents and online estate agents, which I'd agree with you, Purple Bricks are by far away the largest, is pretty blurred and likely to become a lot more blurred. Countrywide, for instance, are introducing an online service as a Savills. And you've got to remember that there's quite a lot of traditional estate agent business about Purple Bricks, i.e. you want to sell a house, okay, you book it online, but somebody comes round, gets you to sign a piece of paper. You have the option of having people coming round to do viewings. So, yeah, I think, you know, I'd agree that obviously because their offering is a lot cheaper and a lot less effort is required from the agents, they will be able to get, you know, you can see they're growing at the moment, they'll get, you know, the growth at first will be pretty large. But I think that, you know, they're pretty much a hybrid estate agent. And to say that, you know, the distinction is, you know, not just the one or the other. I think it's becoming increasingly blurred as, you know, traditional estate agents are using this model. It's not as if Countrywide, as if Purple Bricks have some sort of patent, or, you know, they're a website, and, you know, it's the moat to the business is non-existent, in my opinion, as I think we will see in the next coming months and years, certainly.
But don't you think, though, Lucien, that the conventional estate agents just can't compete because of they've got all these bricks and mortar and people and all these, you know, hundreds of offices, so massive central, massive networked costs, which Purple Bricks doesn't have. So isn't that its competitive advantage, surely?
Well, that's true. But, you know, if you're Countrywide, for instance, and you see the Purple Bricks are, you know, selling these instruction-only contracts to people, there's, you know, that would just be on top of their current overhead, which, admittedly, the entire bricks and mortar agents are doing very badly, as you can see from their share prices. But I mean, for instance, Countrywide, through one of their subsidiaries, is offering undercutting Rightmove with a £995 instruction fee, on which, if people are unhappy, and I suspect that the market for these types of contractor is less than what is being touted. You could, you know, the client can then say, okay, I'll go to your traditional service, and that 995 will be taken off the larger fee that they will pay. So,
oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
So, I just don't think there's an, I don't think Purple Bricks have got enough sort of protected technology that other people can't replicate. And on top of that, I'm not at all sure that the growth in selling houses entirely on internet in this sticky market is nearly as big as the bulls are saying.
Okay. And going back to that again, though, in terms of the competitive advantage, I think the moat that Purple Bricks is developing is that it can outspend the competition on marketing, because the UK business in particular is already a huge cash cow. I mean, the Zeus Capital note dated 29th of June this year, which is available on Research Tree, it splits out the performance of each country individually, and it's forecasting 44.8 million gross profit for the UK operation this year, of which its overheads are a quarter of that. So that gives it then 33 million of cash generation, which basically it can spend on marketing, which is far more than any of its competitors can do.
Well, I'm not sure about that. And I think that, as has already been demonstrated in Australia, the marketing that Purple Bricks has to do has to, in my view, be maintained. And
yes.
They said in Australia they hope to spend 10 million in marketing. It's already apparent that they're going to be having to spend a lot more than that. And just to stand still, their market expenses are going to be extremely high, I think.
Yes, but sure. But I mean, my feeling is though that I know Yopa raised some money recently, didn't they? I think it was about 30 million. But
yeah.
The firepower that Purple Bricks has got, certainly in the UK, is far above any of the others. And
online ones, yes. But
yes.
I mean, the firepower of Purple Bricks at the moment is dependent upon cash calls to shareholders.
Mm.
And the last placing was done for expansion in the US. So
yes.
There's not a lot of room for disappointment unless, they can come to the market again for disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, the US money. Actually, this brings us on to my second bull point. So my second bull point are called stunning growth. The growth they've achieved in the UK is absolutely stellar. I mean, it's not far off doubling year on year.
They've only been at it for a year, essentially. So
I can see
that. I mean, some of the numbers forecast by take Jefferies, the most bearish of the four brokers who follow Purple Bricks. if you believe their numbers, and these are the most bearish for 2020 in terms of revenue, then there's just about a case for valuing the company here. But I think they're wildly optimistic, or presumably a lot of these forecasts have been fed to them by management. But, to give you an example, 2020, they reckon 162 million revenues in the UK alone.
Yeah.
If you take that in terms of number of house sales, if you believe their statistic that they convert from instruction to sale 83%, which I've had no reason to believe or disbelieve, but I think it sounds a bit high. But even if that is true, then you're talking about them selling in 2020 twice as many houses as Countrywide, who are by far and away the largest estate agent, sell right now. I mean, I just find that extremely unlikely, given the headwinds that they're likely to run into. I mean, to grab that kind of growth in, 3 years, I think is a real stretch. And that's from the most bearish broker.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I feel if a trading statement comes out and they're significantly shy of the forecast, then I would just, I would sell in the opening auction and walk away from it. So I think you are right to flag up that the valuation rests almost entirely on very, very strong growth being delivered.
Exactly. I mean, the valuation leaves absolutely no room for disappointment at all.
Yeah.
And I cannot see how disappointment is not on the way in sort of relatively short order.
Okay. I mean, the other thing is I feel this one's a very risky share to short, because if the California launch has just happened, and, you know, if we get, say, and they're really going for it, I mean, they're spending $20-25 million a year, so they've got enough in the bank to do a 2-year hit the ground running big splurge in America. And remember, it's only one state to begin with, California. I feel if there's good news on that and they can say in 6 months or a year, yes, it's working in America, the market cap will be up to $5 billion, I would say. I wouldn't be surprised if it was, because they've then proved up that actually this model works in the biggest market in the world. So that, to me, makes it too risky to even consider a short.
To address the U.S. market, to give an example, a piece of research I read by Peel Hunt, I think it was, in August, gave some of the parts valuation of the company, which at the time was about 460, their target price was 460, and the valuation they gave for that was already had 10 pence of earnings per share in America shoved on a PE, undiscounted, incidentally. So they had already built in 80 pence a share for the American operation in 2020, when they've, you know, I don't think anybody's thinking that they're going to really start making any sort of a profit in the US until 2019. So, again, I think that's already very much in the share price. Incidentally, on the US, I think the metrics out there are completely different. And to give you an example, I mean, the valuation they give on average, say, for a house in LA is $560,000, right? The way things work out there, as you may or may not know, is that the seller ends up paying 6%, right, of which 3% then goes to the buyer, because in America you have the buyers and sellers have separate agents.
Yeah.
So what they've just announced that they will be offering a 3,200 introduction fee, and said what a saving this is. But if you look at it on the other side, which I think is extremely problematical for your average estate agent, who they need obviously to make this a success in the US, is going to join them. They are going to be foregoing on the 6%, or you take 3%, it's about $32,000. So your average agent gets his share of half of that. So they've got to be asking people to say, look, come and work for Purple Bricks, and you will get a for every instruction, which we hope it will end up in a sale, you will get your share of $3,200. Whereas at the moment, for every house they're selling, they get their share of $16,800. Now, that suggests to me that they're not the big hitters in the American estate agent industry is different from over here. There are a lot of sort of self-employed people working out of established agents, you know, bricks and mortar agents, and the big hitters will be getting about 50% of.
Oh, really?
The real big hitters will be getting more than that. But, you know, an average big hitter will be getting 40 to 50% of the seller's fee. So in that case, you're talking about saying, well, instead of getting 8,000, your share, i.e. take home pay right now, for selling a property, you're going to be getting whatever Purple Bricks give, which I very much doubt is more than 50%. You'll be getting $1,500.
Yeah, but remember, it's on a different metric there, Lucien, because the Purple Bricks fee is an upfront fee, regardless of whether the property sells or not.
Yeah, that's very true. We'll come on
so they'll get a lot more 1,500s than you know, half of the 16,000 or whatever.
Well, if you're if as Purple Bricks are suggesting that 83% of instructions turn into sales, then there's not a lot of difference. I'd agree with you.
Well, I think
saying, right, take the fee, don't worry about whether you sell it or not, and move on to the next one tomorrow. Mm. Take the fee and rinse and repeat. Then obviously, short term, you've got a bit of a business model there for an unscrupulous estate agent who's going to say, well, all I need to do is get the seller to sign on the dotted line, I get my fee up front, incidentally, which is financed by whoever the equivalent out there they're using of close brothers is. But if an estate agent that's confident of turning 83% of instructions into sales, then the metrics just don't work for the estate agent.
Yeah, the sound quality is not great, Lucy. And is the microphone near to your mouth, or is it?
Yes, it is. Sorry, is that better?
Yeah, that's better, yeah. I mean, just coming back to you on one of those points, the 83% from the research I've done and things that my readers to my blog have told me, the 83% figure apparently is sales that are agreed. And of those sales that are agreed, apparently the industry average is about 30% actually complete. So my understanding is that, and Purple Bricks will not reveal the number of sales that actually complete, but I suspect they're being disingenuous about this, and they're probably only completing on 30% of the 83%, which is going to be leaving behind a long tail of dissatisfied customers, isn't it?
Well, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I'm to be making the bull points, aren't I? But I do think...
That is a fair point, but I know that makes my point less valid in terms of the remuneration to a
yes.
Estate agent, but the fact is that if it gets round that of these instruction fees they're taking in, 30% of 80% are ending up in sales, then you're going to get dissatisfaction building up pretty quickly.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, the other thing is they gave an update a few days ago on the US operations, and they don't seem to be having any trouble recruiting their US staff, although I suppose, you know, we don't know at this stage what quality they are, do we?
Well, exactly, and it's very, very early days. So,
yeah, okay. Right, moving on then. bullet point number three is these user reviews. Now, which Tom Winifred's put up, and I think it's pretty bad of Purple Bricks sort of threatening legal action to get these things removed. And there have been allegations about them tampering with the Trustpilot reviews as well. I mean, I think these user reviews, the bad ones, are largely because those people had unrealistic expectations. And this is where I'm actually quite critical of Purple Bricks, because I think their advertising is very, very disingenuous. They claim that they offer the same service as a conventional estate agent, but with a commission, and that simply isn't true. What they do, it's a portal for... it's an intermediary basically for listing properties on Rightmove, which individuals are not allowed to do themselves. So all Purple Bricks really do is they create the particulars, they upload it to Rightmove, and they then provide an online portal for potential buyers to contact the seller and to book viewings in and to submit offers for the property. And that's basically all Purple Bricks do.
I agree with that. But
I think they need to be clear. They need to be clear and explain to people, look, this is a slimmed down, pared down offering. That's why it's cheap.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're lying and saying we do exactly the same as conventional agents, which then leaves people disappointed.
Yeah, well, to address that very quickly in three points, which I think it raises. One, I'd agree with you that if you've got a house that sells itself and you're prepared to do all the work, and you're prepared to put the money up front, whatever you do, don't go for the Close Brothers agreement, which will tie you into what I'm told is an extremely inefficient, and this is where a lot of the complaints are, legal conveyancing firm, which will cost you quite a bit of money. Then fine. But as people are saying at the moment, the market is getting very sticky. If you think that you can sell your house just by sticking it on or paying Purple Bricks £1,000 to stick on Rightmove, and you're prepared to do all the viewings and everything yourself, fine. There is a market for that, and I'd have absolutely no qualms with that. I think there is a market for it, and I think people, obviously there are people who are doing that through Purple Bricks, and in my view, that is their niche, and I think it's a good little niche, but I think other people will be onto it. The way the market's going, as you can see from the share price of virtually every other estate agent, is that you can't just stick something on Rightmove. Now, it's getting much, much more difficult to shift property. There's always things that will go. You know, if there's an identical flat in the same street that's just gone, you can sort of stick it on and be pretty confident of selling it. But, you know, in this market where it's getting pretty sticky, you've got to do more to achieve sales than just sticking on Rightmove and Zoopla. And I think people are coming to a realization. I think a lot of so I think that that is a problem going on. I think, you know, if it were the case that everybody sells their house the moment they ask Purple Bricks to stick it on Rightmove, then fine. Mm. But that's not the case. To move on to my second point about these review sites, is that I think this Trustpilot thing, which I've been looking into, I mean, if Trustpilot was a quoted company, I think it would be a terrific short. I think that the game is shortly to be up with Trustpilot. It's a sinister and extraordinarily, I'm told, inefficient organization. Mm. It is unbelievably easy, so I'm told, I have to be careful what I'm saying here, to game the reviews on it. And for Purple Bricks to be hanging so much on their of their reputation on a Danish review site, which incidentally I'm told is struggling financially. I'm told that. I don't know it for a fact. With increasing scrutiny on it, Trustpilot I'm talking about, and on review sites in general, I think is incredibly foolhardy. And their the way that they've treated all agents as well, I think will only be bad for them. And to try and garner, you know, support and respect by constantly touting the reviews on Trustpilot, which are at total odds to any of the other independent review sites, might work in the short term. We've seen explosive growth in the last year, as you said. 2 years, maybe, we'll see growth. But it just ain't going to work in the long term. As you know, British people are obsessed by property, and word of mouth is incredibly important. And if people are dissatisfied with Purple Bricks' offering, and I'm not just talking about the fact that they don't understand that it's basic, I'm talking about, you know, people failing to show up, quite a lot of it, the appalling problems with the conveyancing once the sale is agreed.
The sound quality is going again.
Is that better?
Yeah,
then I think they're going to run into very, very big problems. I think this whole Trustpilot thing is very, very unwise.
Okay. That ticks off that one then. So the fourth bullet point, I was just going to touch on my personal experience of Purple Bricks because my family recently bought a flat through Purple Bricks. We found it excellent. I mean, basically, because it didn't do much. All it did was, we saw the flat we wanted, and it was a specific property we wanted at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. We just downloaded the Purple Bricks app and booked a viewing in there and then, which was fantastic, for the next day, incidentally. So we viewed the flat the next day, absolutely loved it, put an offer in through the Purple Bricks system. By this time, myself and the vendor had actually swapped email addresses and phone numbers, and we just managed the sale process ourselves, and it all went smoothly. The only time Purple Bricks rang me was to just a sort of initial exploratory call to find out who I was and what my status was and all the rest of it. The only other times I heard from them, they were trying to upsell me things, so trying to upsell me a surveyor, a mortgage, you name it. So they basically served the purpose for the transaction we wanted to do, because we were experienced buyers, the seller was an experienced seller, we didn't need any hand-holding, and so it worked very efficiently for that type of transaction.
Do you know if the seller was tied into their firm of solicitors or not?
No, he wasn't. He used his own
firm. Well, that's exactly what I mean. They've got a good niche business there. But the vast majority of people, one of the great hooks that they can hang this on is nobody likes stumping up a grand in cash up front. So the agent will say, you don't have to pay now. You can pay in 10 weeks' time when you sell the property. Sign here. You then sign a credit agreement with Close Brothers. And if you haven't sold the property in 10 weeks' time, you get a nasty letter from Close Brothers demanding the money.
But it's interest-free, isn't it? Absolutely.
And more importantly, if you do sign up with Close Brothers, you also sign up saying, we agree to use the conveyancers that Purple Bricks recommend, which Purple Bricks obviously get commission on, and I'm told... anecdotal evidence, looking at the review sites other than Trustpilot, suggests are not the solicitors that you choose. And also, incidentally, priced higher than, because they're paying out commission and one thing or another, priced higher than your average firm.
Okay. We better speed through these last few points. We're running out of time, aren't we? So just some quick fire points then. I think the longs can probably outspend the shorts on Purple Bricks because a lot of US investors apparently are taking interest in it. So I'm wondering if there might be a massive short squeeze if the US launch goes well. Then the BBC expose of Purple Bricks I thought contained very little of substance. And finally, looking at the financials, it's got tons of cash in the bank, £61 million forecast at April 2018. And the Zeus Capital note splits out each territory, and you can, you know, if the US works, this thing will go to the moon, I think. But if the US doesn't work, they can just, you know, cut the cord, and they'll still have a very cash generative UK business and Australian. So over to you.
Well, the number of points there very briefly. The cash is earmarked for expansion in America. That's why they raised it. There was no other cash other than that. As we've discussed before, I think America profitability is 2 years away. Anything can happen in 2 years, but I think it's extremely unlikely. I think it's very unlikely that they're going to gain much further traction in the UK. And I think the chances of them gaining traction in America, like a lot of plucky Brits who have tried to conquer America, is extremely unlikely. I think, you know, what they should have done is get their own house in order in the UK before blundering off into America, which is totally unknown territory to them. Things operate totally differently there, as we just talked about incentive. And, so that's that on that point.
Okay.
I don't really want to comment on the rumours. Apparently, Americans are going to be plunging into it. I mean...
Say that again.
You said apparently Americans are hot to trot on this one. Well, this is the sort of full argument that I hear quite a lot. But, you know,
My broker, I quoted that with my broker, and he said, yes, apparently there are people in the market buying for US investors. And because it very often also rises in the afternoon. Now, okay, they'd be buying in the morning through a UK broker, but, I don't know.
Afternoon, the price has been going down pretty much in a straight line since they announced their American launch, until this afternoon. Mm. When was their announcement on the American launch? Last weekend? Well, Purple has been down every single day last week until today.
£4, because I remember I bought some more. I topped up in the opening auction on the day of the US launch, just in the hope that it might trigger a short squeeze, but it didn't, and it was £4. £4.
Well, exactly.
And it closed today at £3.95. So, but there's been a huge spike down in between, hasn't there?
Yeah. So, which is not to me evidence of strong American buying, but maybe that's to come. But
yeah. Okay. That's very interesting, Lucy. I mean, I feel overall by listening to that, I mean, I bought originally at £1.25 and sold at £4. So this was a fantastically successful share for me. Yeah. And then I waited until the general election had gone, so I didn't want to be holding anything really at the time of the general election in case Corbyn got in. And then I bought back into Purple Bricks about £4.05, and it went, I think it went up to about £5, didn't it?
It went over £5.
Yeah, and it's and then I sold a load of them at £4.60, and then I sold some more at £4.20. So it's only about 2% of my portfolio now. But I think listening to the bearish view has certainly made me wary about it, more wary than I was, and I don't think it's likely to buy.
Purple Bricks, don't get me wrong, has been a spectacular investment. I mean, Neil Woodford is in he's been playing around in the market a little bit, I think, since the IPO. But, I mean, he's seen he took a bit in the IPO at £1 a share, but most of his stock was, in today's money, 14 pence a share.
Pre-IPO, didn't he? Yeah.
That would have been the time to do it. He's done spectacularly well on it. I think he's got a bit of a problem now as to what his exit route is. I can understand the hype of Purple Bricks, which is why I left it alone from £1 to £5.20 or whatever. Then I thought, well, if I see a retracement, I'll have a look at it. And when I had a look at it, I just saw so many, red flags, all the usual red flags that will put you off a company seem to be present there. So that's the reason I'm short. And I just don't buy this, you know, competitive, disruptive machine. And if I did, you know, you pick a different company to do it. I mean, all the anecdotal evidence and factual evidence, for, I mean, to go into a little bit of detail now, I mean, the background of these two guys who founded the company, the three companies they had before all went into liquidation. The brother of the CEO resigned shortly before the IPO because of the list of regulatory problems that he'd have, obviously not wanting to be in the IPO document.
Well,
the,
really?
Which we have been into, Trustpilot alliance, just everything about the management, the way that the legal attitude to all agents, for instance, everything about it to me throws up red flags. I mean, you know, it's not rocket science to say, well, take a look at the management's background. Well, did Neil Woodford do that? Neil Woodford was investing at 7 million, 14 pence a share, thinking, I can probably get an IPO away next year at a pound, which is exactly what he did. So perhaps he wasn't too fussed about that. But when you're now talking about a billion-pound company, these things matter. This isn't some exciting little startup, you know.
Yeah.
This is now discounting an enormous amount of growth and an efficiently run, you know, the efficiently run organization with professionals at the helm.
Mm.
I can't see any evidence of that at all. They've already lost the finance director. Looking at the comments on the background of how those two boys used to operate their former businesses, three of which are now, I think the only three possibly, they may have been others, are all in liquidation. Does not inspire any confidence in me at all. And it's very easy with the, you know, the word disruption, you know, the huge American opportunity, blah, blah, blah. I get all that, but I think that's history now. It's gone from a £20 million startup in 2014 to a £1.3 billion company at its height a standing start in 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Purple Brick story is over now, and I think the more scrutiny serious city analysts start giving on this company, the worse it's going to get for Purple Bricks. There are no institutional shareholders other than Woodford, and we've discussed why he's in there, and I think Old Mutual have got early stock. Nobody else is in there. No, I've seen no serious analysts report on it. And so one has to rely on hearsay, you know, the Americans are going to come charging in, that kind of thing. And anything factual I've looked at on Purple Books, their claims, for instance, about how many houses they're selling, what the ratio from instruction to sale is, how do they define sale? Everything's so blurred. You know,
they do, it's sale common. Agreed. It's not completions. It's sale agreed, how they define it. So, yeah, I agree. I come back to you on the analysts, though. There are some quite serious analysts covering it. I mean, Peel Hunt, Canaccord, and I think Endless One Singer have all
I don't
out.
Think Canaccord cover it, but, well...
I'd
invite listeners to pull up the Peel Hunt report on the 4th of August, I believe, so only over just over a month ago. And I would think that, I mean, I was amazed that anybody could write anything so speculative as that. As I said, you know, to put in a valuation for American earnings in 2021, sort of 80 pence a share, which is, you know, more than 10% of the, you know, of the target value. And before the American business had even started, I mean, you know, where these figures are just plucked out of the air.
We're in a bull market, Lucian. You know, this is what happens in bull markets. Good.
But
okay.
Anyway, I may be wrong, and I wish you all the best on that one, Paul. But I would keep it small.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy any more. I always think it's good to listen to the bear arguments and really think it through, because it can save you making expensive mistakes, isn't it? There's a lot of people, I think, when they, you know, they just fall in love with a share, and then when it drops, they just keep buying more and more and more. And, you know, whereas that's a bit of a rookie mistake, I think. So,
I will leave you with one bull point.
Yes.
The only bull point I can think of. Is that, rather to my annoyance, Before I talked to you, I was just skirting through what the people were saying on the ADVFN bulletin board.
Oh, God,
and it's
yeah.
totally contrary to what I normally find in these situations, that most of the sort of foul-mouthed, abusive, you know, sort of what you call, what Tom would call bulletin board morons, are So I think there is quite a cocky sort of bear element there, which I certainly don't approve of any kind of abuse or bulletin boards, but I was sort of thinking, I mean, to me, it would be yet another massive red flag if it had a huge, you know, sort of bullish kind of, you know, kind of retail,
yes,
sort of vocal bulletin board sort of chorus. But
yes.
to not its credit, but to my surprise, the sort of, I'd say that the bears outnumber the bulls on the bulletin board, and are more sort of strident and kind of rude than the bulls. So that I would say is the only bull point I can think of with purple pricks, but I don't think it's going to prevent.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I think the £1 billion market cap scares off most people, doesn't it? Really?
Well, so it should.
Mm. Good. Okay. Oh, well, thanks ever so much, Lucy. That's very interesting. He certainly
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Let's see what happens. Maybe we'll meet in a year and talk about what happened to Purple Brick.
Definitely. Brilliant. Thanks, Lucy.
Okay. Cheers. Bye-bye, Paul. Cheers.
Take care. Bye.